I don't foresee this. When Trevor came in, and I was not – everybody loved the Texas A&M pass, the freshman season. Got to remind me of this. This is 2018. The Texas A&M pass. But what you forget about that game, that was a T. Higgins, who had a great run at the end of the pass. That was not that impressive to me. As a matter of fact, in that game, Kelly Bryant was the best quarterback. And Kelly Bryant won that football game. But 2 weeks later against Georgia Tech, when Trevor Lawrence threw that BB to Hunter Renfro for 17 yards, touchdown pass, when he threw that rope that you could hang clothes on, man, on the run, that's when I went, yep, that's it. That's it. So I don't know if we'll have one of those, yep, that's it moments. Trevor in that year, oh, Mickey. Trevor in that 2016 year. Let me do a game by game where what you won't see from him. All right. Little used, let me get back this way. Little used in 2018, by the way. Furman, 9 of 14, 137. Three touchdowns in his very first game. No picks. Pretty good start. Were you here, Ashby? You weren't here, but you remember watching this at all?
Absolutely.
Sure. A&M, 5 of 9, 93 yards, a touchdown, no picks. 64-yard touchdown pass. Georgia Southern, 12 of 19, 194, one touchdown, no picks. Georgia Tech, here's where it's just obvious. 13 of 18 for 176, four touchdowns, and one pick. And then took over Syracuse and then went on. But, NC State, 26 of 39 for 308. Against Florida State, 59-10 win. 20 of 37 for 314, four touchdowns, no picks. So, obviously, it was good. And it went on for, I mean, national championship game, Alabama, 20 of 32, 347, three touchdowns, no picks, national championship game, true freshman. Notre Dame, semifinals, 27 of 39, 327, three touchdowns, no picks. In the college football playoff, put it this way, in the postseason against Pitt in the ACC championship game, Notre Dame and Alabama, the guy goes for eight touchdowns and no picks as a true freshman. You're not going to get that out of Tate Reynolds. I don't want to say you are. And if you're expecting that, then, man, you're in the wrong tree. That ain't happening. But maybe we need to go back and look at what Taj did early. That might be a little better indicator of what Taj's first games were. That might be a little better deal to go by. 654 Roar. Pratt injury lawyer phone lines. Single game season Chad in Columbia. Who, by the way, I did tell Ashby yesterday at practice, you did apologize.
Yeah. I was mainly bashing Birmingham. Okay. Nick, you know those guys.
But right? Well, Ashby said, hey, if you bash Birmingham, you're bashing her. So
yeah, no, Stadia, no.
I mean, just my old boss at work is a Mountain Brook guy. And yeah. I mean, it's just so obnoxious. I mean, he calls it Over the Mountain, Mick. I mean, it's just like.
Look,
so
Mountain absurd. Brook is my arch rival. I'm with you, Chad. I'm with you.
Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, I've never really been. I mean, I went to UAB for a conference one time. But other than that, and then he drove me around there. But anyways, Mick, all right, so I got a hypothetical for you. I love hypotheticals. Right. Let's say, I want to get Ashby's thoughts and yours. Let's say the difference this year in overall wins, Tate versus Christopher, is one game. Okay? So if you start Tate, you win one less game, but then you got all the experience that, you know, and then you potentially maybe can make the playoffs next year. And so let's say the difference is 8-4 versus 9-3. And Mick, let's say that one game difference is not the South Carolina game. Because if you told me that, you know, the difference was South Carolina, then I would obviously take that one, right? Because I'm one game season. But if the South Carolina game's not on the table and there's only one game difference between the two, would you start the younger guy for the experience that, hey, you got him another 2, 3, 4 years? I want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it the difference of being 11-1 and 10-2, or is it the difference of being 8-4 and 7-5? because the difference between 8-4 and 7-5, I want to start the younger guy. But the difference in being 11-1 and 10-2, I want to start the older guy. So I don't think it's an example of that. But to your point, if you're not going to win the national championship, you're not going to make the college football playoff, you're not going to win the ACC, then this year is more about the art class and the idea of let's look better and let's get some confidence. Because, and oh, by the way, Vecina can come back next year too. We get that idea that, oh, man, this is Vecina's last year and Reynolds is going to take over. Maybe, maybe not. There is a scenario out there where Vecina plays really well and he's a quarterback this year and next year. But if you're talking about the upside and the ceiling, which I think is pretty clear, and I don't want to be unfair to Vecina in that aspect, that Reynolds' ceiling is higher, that if you get him good experience this year, and next year you bring back Davidson and Johnson, and I'm going to tell you, the Walker kid running back, I think he's going to play next year, the freshman. And now, Wesco Moore probably gone, but if you could get me Burrows and Sellers, and you can bring the Simmons kid, who I like some, and wide receiver core, which will be okay next year, and Betker and Henry can come back next year, and the offensive line, everybody comes back, maybe next year, and going to have some defensive end help, maybe have to come in here, maybe going to portal and do that, but defensive tackles come back, Brown probably goes pro, probably needs some linebacker portal help, but the entire secondary outside of Washington comes back. Like, now I think you're talking about, that's a college football playoff team. And so are you asking me, I'm not going to give up a college football playoff appearance this year if that's on the table, but at 7-5 or 8-4 going into next year and having hope and preparing for next year, then yeah, I'm going the younger guy. But all that depends on, like, is Vecina going to be a guy that's going to grow in this position and get better and better and better, and next year you're going to feel really good about him as a senior? That's on the table. That's within the realm of possibility.
Are they going to give him the room to grow and get better? That's a question of
yeah, mine. Maybe. I don't think that it's – again, I watched Danny Werfel. I think the thing about Vecina is he's been here for three and he hadn't done anything yet, and why. And a lot of it has to do with this doesn't look like when coming out of his hands like it looks like other guys you've had here. And that's not his fault. But if Danny Werfel did not have any kind of arm talent and he won a Heisman Trophy, you can do it. And the earlier you get rid of the football, the more comfortable you get rid of the football, the more you throw it away from defenders, and the more that you grow into your role and understanding it and the timing of it. If you can grow into that next year, I'll take that too. Mm-hmm. That's on the table. But I think the conventional wisdom is that Reynolds' ceiling, physical talent is better. And so experience-wise, if you're talking about 27 rather than 26, experience-wise, then unless you're going to do something really special this year, then I think a lot of fans would give that up to be ready, buried in 27. And again, I think this team, I think that this offense, you got to have a playmaker or two on offense come in at wide receiver. But this offense, with this offensive line and the running backs coming back, I think you could build on something for next year. I think that's within the realm of possibility for next year.
Can I pitch you something?
Yeah.
I think this year's hope, you talk about the art class of it all, right?
Yeah.
The hope for the 2026 season stems on coaches, right? Stems on Tom Allen's defense being better in year two and Chad Morris changing the offense. This time next year, if you didn't have an outstanding season, you need the hope to hinge on players in the future.
Great point.
There's only so much that you can do with new coaches.
It's a great point.
This time next year, you got to feel good about who you have.
It's a great point. Ponder this, and then we'll take a break. I'm going to get the Rogers phone call, and then I'm going to come back to you on this. I'm writing this down to make sure I come back to it. Does it look like, or is this just me wanting to see it, that Reynolds has a little bit of a swagger? Ponder that. Short break. Roger's phone call. And we'll give you the nuggets from the evaluations that we did in hour one. Got a lot to do when you come back after this.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts?
Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan?
Whatever the reason,
give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line
at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar.
Where your voice is always heard.
We're talking about experience at quarterback. And that's important. Let me tell you, experience with tree care, even more important for your home or your business. Snyder Tree does an absolutely amazing job. And let me just talk to you about experience. Let me talk to you about what their team looks like. John, 20 years in the business. Scott, 23. Jay, 37. Luther, 25. Caleb, 7. Stephen, 8. Levi, 15. Brent, 10. Nathan, 11. And Katie, 8. Look, these are experienced guys. These are certified arborists. They got their certification numbers. I don't know why I need to know with certification numbers, but I can find that out. These people know trees and shrubs backwards and forwards, and that's just the Greenville team. Backwards and forwards. Hundreds of years of experience. And if you're in the Charlotte area right now, David, 33 years, and Chris, 22 years, and Chad, 21 years, and Josh, 11 years. This senior staff, Eric's been in it forever. You want that nothing that they'll see in your yard, in your business, that they hadn't seen before. Complete tree service, tree removals and trimming and pruning and shrub care and health care, tree health care, emergency services and commercial services and mulch. They do it all. Go with the most experienced team out there. Go with Snyder Tree Care. 833-4MY-TREE or SnyderTree.com.
From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports Talk is on the roar. When you're craving scratch-made food, 29 degree.
Right up off the scrap heap and put him on the sideline with Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for Steve Sarkisian, but like I said, you know, Kiffin is just, he can't help himself, and that's fine. But when you look at the numbers, and I'll get off of here because I know you probably have the numbers there to break it down, but the SEC is just not what it was. And the NIL, thank goodness, some of it is negative of what's happened, but a lot of it is positive because it has balanced out some of the other conferences, and it has exposed the SEC as for what they were doing before the NIL, which was under-the-table stuff, which was why they were better.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
All right, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
I'm
going to give him some numbers here in a second. Well, let me go do it now. South Carolina, the last 5 years. Talk about, oh, man, you got to go to places like Williams-Brice. South Carolina, the last 5 years at home. Let me see. 5, 10, 15, 20. They're 23. See, why am I saying this? They are 23 and 2, 4, 6, 8. They're 23 and 12 at home the last 5 years. But 11 of those wins were against non-Power 4 mm-hmm. opponents. So that makes them 12 and 12 against Power 4 opponents at home.
Since 2020.
So I've gone 42 and 26 the last 10 years at home. That's 2.6 losses a year at home. Auburn's 47 and 24 at home. Mississippi State's 39 and 29 at home. I mean, with these pits, everybody talks about, oh, man, Commonwealth Stadiums and stuff. They're 46 and 25 at home. And now a lot of those 46 are against two of those a year. 20 of those are against Louisiana, Monroe, and Miami of Ohio and Ball States. Against Power Fours, man, it's not good at home. But these are pits, the bottom of this league. Arkansas is 34 and 34 the last 10 years at home. That's a tough place to play. And again, of those 34, that's beating Rice and Cincinnati and Missouri State and Western Carolina and Kent State and Arkansas Pine Bluff and UAB and Alabama Birmingham and Arkansas State. They're 34 and 34 at home. Oh, man, we got to go to Arkansas. Oh, it's a tough place to play. 34 and 34. That's tough.
If you want to argue that it's really tough to win in those traditionally big-time SEC stadiums, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the conversation of Tiger Stadium being tough to play.
Because LSU's good and Georgia's good.
That's
and
my
Alabama's
point.
Good and A&M's good. But don't hand me this bottom-of-the-league stuff.
Yes, that's if you want to talk about it, it's so hard to play it. Georgia, it's so hard to play at Tennessee.
Yeah, because you're playing against Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington.
Exactly. But Arkansas, Kentucky.
I'm playing Felipe Franks, and I'm beating him 47-10.
Flippy, why did our boy Flippy catch a stray?
Because he stinks. He stinks. Let me tell you the Sopranos deal here. Because he stinks. You know what he is? In the Sopranos world, he's terrible. You can't sit there and tell me you're 34-34 and Arkansas is a tough place to play.
Never had the makings.
I mean, don't hand me that garbage. You know who doesn't think it's hard to play at Arkansas? Anybody with a pulse. BYU beat them at home. Oklahoma State beat them at home. Memphis beat them at home. You think it's so hard to go play at Arkansas? You know who thinks Kentucky? You know who thinks it's not hard to play against Kentucky at home? Anybody with a pulse. The bottom half of the league goes and beats Kentucky in Commonwealth and Mississippi State in Commonwealth. Nobody thinks there's a tough place to play. Toledo went into Mississippi State, beat them 41-17. Toledo didn't think that, oh, man, you got to go to Starkville? Oh. Missouri has not beaten a ranked team in forever. They don't beat ranked teams.
I'm not
Vanderbilt,
scared by
– South Carolina. No, nobody's scared of that.
I'm not scared by Ole Miss either, to be honest with you.
No.
By the atmosphere there. It's good.
No. Ole Miss. Let me find it. What Ole Miss is the last 10 years at home.
Not great.
Ole Miss the last 10 years at home. They're 51-19. That's two losses a year at home. Ole Miss lost three games at home in 16-17. They lost four games at home in 18. Three games at home in 19. 3-20. Now, they've been pretty good home the last few years, but that's because you play in Mercer and Furman and Middle Tennessee State a lot of times, too. But don't hand me that bottom of the league stuff.
Yeah, I don't love all that.
The league is tough because Bama's been good and Texas has been good and Oklahoma's been good and Georgia's been good. Don't hand me the Arkansas. Don't hand me that. And now you can't hand me the top because Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana have kicked your butt and Notre Dame's kicked your butt. Don't hand me that, man. I'll give you South Carolina's record against Power Four the last 10 years at some point in time in here.
Can't be great.
I mean, Clemson
can't be great.
Clemson owns the building. Bad Clemson teams go down there and run them out of the building. And you talk about, oh man, have you heard Sandstorm? Have you heard 2001? These people are crazy. They got the rags going up and down. This is a tough place to play. It is. Well, your bikes doesn't feel too tough to me. Hand me that. Get that garbage out of here. Auburn didn't feel too tough to me. Seen Clemson go down and win at Auburn. I didn't feel like it was all that bad. All right, let me touch on two quick things. One, and this is from the first hour. One thing that Ashby and I got into was that this offensive line, it looks bigger this year. Like, it looks like last year when you walked in, we saw Braden Jacobs. Like, whoa, that guy towers over everybody else on the offensive line. They closed the gap with that a little bit. And if you look at – let me get these guys up here again. I had it up and I got distracted by SEC guy. Roger talking about SEC guy. If you look at the roster now, that they have definitely gone bigger – and definitely gone. You could tell that it is an effort made to get bigger on the offensive line. So we didn't get heights and weights, but on that offensive line right now, who they recruited in the past? Freshman Carter Scruggs, 6'5", 300. Freshman Grant Wise, 6'4", 300. Freshman Chance Barclay, 6'4", 295. Delaney, 6'5", 300. Freshman. Guthrie, freshman, 6'6", 285. Braden Williams, freshman, 6'8", 300. That this, the Tucker Caddis kid, sophomore, 6'5", 310. Braden Jacobs, 6'7", 345. Ronan O'Connell, 6'5", 320. They made Mason Wade, 6'5", 300. They made a conscious effort to get bigger on the offensive line, and that's showing in recruiting now. Mm-hmm. Second part of it is, and maybe this isn't a big deal, but we mentioned this first hour. Found it yesterday. Tate Reynolds didn't work out with the quarterbacks in the weight room over the summer. Worked out with the linebackers. I got to confirm that, but I was told that yesterday. That's a mentality thing. That's what I like. So that leads me to my question I have for you. Now, I was the guy that told you Willie Coyne's going to be great. And Willie Coyne, if he not got hurt, he'd have been much better, obviously. His shoulder injury and shoulder injuries and throwing baseballs and throwing football, shoulder injuries you don't know. Ball and socket is complicated. There's a lot in there. But he was not, and his throwing motion was never the same after that. So I missed on that one. I thought DJ would be better. I didn't know he couldn't process. I thought Klubnik would be better. Well, I never thought Klubnik was going to be great. But Klubnik couldn't stop being on the carpet. With all that said, you think he's tired of me with the Labrador jokes, Labrador references. With all that said, am I seeing what I want to see, or am I seeing that Reynolds got a little swagger to him? He's got a little bit of a edge.
There's definitely a swagger, and there's definitely a build that are impressive. Those two things.
Doesn't mean. Look, I have no idea if he can process or not.
Like,
you know why the NFL, keep that thought. You know why the NFL spends hundreds of millions of dollars on bust at quarterback? Because physically they look like one thing, and then they get in the game and they can't process.
Yes. Big deal.
Right. At this point in time, Vecina's process is better. Okay. Now your thought. Sorry.
It's even little stuff. Like, yesterday Clemson football posted a video. First day camp, right? And they ask everybody as they're coming in the tunnel, like, how we feeling first day? Everybody's like, we're so fired up. Let's go. Like, some people are cheering. They didn't really sound like what I just sounded like, but, you know.
We're so fired up. Let's go.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But Tate goes, they're not ready. I'm ready. Walks in.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that. Oh.
Yeah, ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of an edge. There's a swagger. And to be honest with you, that's all fine and good, but you have to be able to play quarterback.
Yeah.
And we'll know here pretty soon if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You got to process it.
Yep.
You got to process. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Final segment of the week. Where'd this week go?
Whoo!
My gracious. Final segment of the week right after this.
They say you should never meet your heroes.
But is there a rule against hanging out with your favorite radio host?
Check out our remote calendar on theroarfm.com
to find out when one of our shows will be in your area.
The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Last night in our garage, we've got our launch monitor out. Drake is in there. We're doing our speed training. The new net arrives today. It is Goffapalooza in our garage right now. We love that garage floor. I'm going to rearrange everything in there. So I'm going to spend a lot of garage time this weekend getting the new launch monitor out and getting the new net out and getting everything great. Look, if this was concrete, if this was the stains of automotive stains and cracks, we wouldn't do it this way. We'd be outside doing something else. But we love this garage. It adds value to your home. Slip resistant, stain resistant. Say that fast enough. Slip resistant, stain resistant. Love Carolina Flooring Specialists. Get Tim Worley. 10-minute, no-obligation phone call. The most experienced team since 1999. Family-owned since then. We love that as well. It's CarolinaFlooringSpecialist.com. Call Tim today, 404-8158, 404-8158.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Spring cleaning season is here, and while you're cleaning inside,
there are a lot of question marks, and you get the possibility of a new coach midseason, get the possibility it all clicks. I think a lot of things have to fall into place for that team to be better. More things have to fall into place for South Carolina to be better than it does for Clemson to be good. But there's a chance, man.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel there's a better – here's about Brad Hughes going the extra mile, 2923-001. Brad Hughes at allstate.com, bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates, Brad Hughes in the Allstate Insurance Agency. Combine your coverage, see if it can get better for you. We did. A lot of you out there just do the automatic bank draft. You don't even know what you pay or what you're getting. Find out. Let's investigate that. Do you think that there is – if I gave you – you've got to bet on one thing, that the Gamecocks make the playoffs – at 9-3 with a very difficult schedule, or that Shane Beamer's fired before the Clemson game and Clayton White's the head coach?
I am much more convinced of that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I just – they haven't – and this is an argument against Clemson as well, but I don't know that anything's been proven for me to think they're a playoff team.
They were close 2 years ago.
Yeah, they were.
And then last year's disaster.
Yes.
That, to me, here's what's weird about that.
Does it hinge on Lenoris? Like,
no. it hinges on this. Shane Beamer's future, well, it hinges on Briles, but all, and Lenore's, yes. But it also hinges on, man, I don't know if Mississippi State's any good or Kentucky's any good or Florida's any good or Tennessee's any good or Arkansas's any good. Like, I think, and I don't think Bama's great. I think South Carolina can beat Bama in Tuscaloosa. I really do. They should have beat them. The last 2 years they played, South Carolina outplayed Alabama. Should have beat them both times and lost both games.
But they didn't.
But they should have won both those games.
But that's my point.
And this is a worse Bama team this year.
My point, though, is they haven't been able to get over that hump.
And it's a good point.
I have no reason to think that they would this year.
It's a good point.
I could get proven wrong, and I can eat that when we talk to Butch in the fall. Can I give you my stat? Because I went and counted it all up.
Yes.
All right. Since 2016, Clemson is 49-10 at Memorial Stadium against Power Four teams. Six of the losses, of the 10 losses, have come in the last 2 years.
All right. Last 10 years, 49-10 against P4 at home.
Yep.
Six were last in the last 2 years.
Yes.
Okay.
So I feel pretty good about that compared to some of the lower-level SEC team records.
All right.
Leave it at that, Mr. Kiffin.
All right. I like that. The point about South Carolina is, if Florida's better than we think, if Tennessee's better, if Florida's as good as Lane Kiffin thinks they are, and if Tennessee's as good as Lane Kiffin thinks they are, and if Mississippi State's as good as Lane, you're like, oh man, the bottom of this league. If they are better than people think they are, then Shane Beamer will not be the head coach at South Carolina in Death Valley.
Correct.
Because they'll lose to Mississippi State, Alabama, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M, and Georgia, and that's eight losses. Like, he's gone.
Either Lane Kiffin gone is right, so. Or Shane Beamer plays Clemson this year.
Right, right. But maybe Florida still sucks, and Tennessee won't be as good. And maybe Kentucky still sucks, Mississippi State still sucks. And then you only lose to Bama. They can beat Bama. Oklahoma, A&M, and Georgia, and now you're 7-4, and you keep your job. Maybe you're playing Clemson to keep your job. Maybe 8-4, you keep your job, and 7-5, you lose your job. New AD, maybe the Clemson game, Shane Beamer's coaching for his life.
Clemson win always helps.
Well, he's done it twice in a row up here, but not down there. Best music of the week. Can we come up with a little Vienna, maybe?
Ooh.
What's the best music of the week? What could get in there to do with
that,
the week?
For sure. Are you kidding me?
All right.
Oh.
This is a great background for you to tell about Eric Newton, Eric Newton, Eric Newton, Eric Newton.com for all real estate.